Also, just want to say, as we begin, if you've got little ones in and they make a little bit of noise, that's fine. I don't mind that. That's all right. That shows that they're here, and I'm delighted that they are. So that's okay. Okay, the quiz that we've got, here we go. What I need you to do is to try to spot what the film is from the pictures that are going to come up on the screen. So what I've done, I've taken the film poster, I've zoomed in on it, and so you've only got a tiny bit, and you've got to try to work out what the film is. And then we'll zoom out and we'll see when we get it. So you're going to need to shout out, all right? So a bit of participation going on there. So there we go. There's the first bit. Any ideas? Any thoughts? Anyone want to shout out a suggestion? 50 Shades of Grey was that. Interesting suggestion. I'm not sure you've come to the right place this morning, but... sorry, what was the other one? Gravity? 2001, what, A Space Odyssey? Okay, interesting. No, none of them are right. There you go, bit more of a clue. Alien? No. No, none of you are getting it. Okay. Apollo 13? No. Captain Phillips, thank you very much. There we go, Captain Phillips. Good film. Okay, we've got another one. This is only the second one. This won't go on, you know, for the rest of the morning. This is our second one. Any ideas? You got a little bit more than you did on the first one. Georgia, what have you got? Is it The Hunger Games? It's not The Hunger Games. I thought people might guess that. No, not Pirates of the Caribbean. Nice try. Any further ideas? Oh, hang on. I think I heard a rumble of the right name there. The Hobbit. Yes, it is The Hobbit. There you go, The Hobbit. Now, that wasn't just for fun, although I hope it was. The point of that was, in order to understand what's going on, you've got to see the big picture. You've got to see the whole thing. If you just zoom in on a little bit, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You've no idea what's going on. You've got to pan out. You've got to see the big picture. And I think that's what Peter is sort of saying to the people he's writing to. He's saying, pan out. See the big picture. And that's really important, both for Christians and for those who aren't Christians. And therefore, actually, this morning, we've split the talk into two bits. First part, I'm mainly going to address Christians. And the second part, I'm mainly going to address those who aren't Christians today. But listen in to what I'm saying to the other. You know, don't fall asleep for the rest of it. But for both, what Peter is saying is, pan out. See the big picture. Take the long-term view of things. So what does he say, particularly for Christians? He says, this is the long-term view. Suffering now, glory later. Let me show you that that's in the passage. Let me show you that's what Peter is saying. So have a look at verses 12 and 13. He says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. So do you see there, that's what Peter is saying. He's saying they're suffering at the moment. The people he's writing to are suffering at the moment, verse 12, in painful trials. But verse 13, he says, rejoice now that you're participating in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. In other words, future. He says, suffering now, glory later. So he says, don't be surprised at suffering, look forward to glory. And the sufferings they were going through were horrible sufferings around that time. We're not sure exactly when he wrote it, but it's probably around the times of the persecutions that Nero did against Christians. He blamed the Christians for the fire in Rome. And he did horrible things to Christians to blame them for the fire. He threw them to wild animals. He set them on fire to light up his garden as human torches. He did horrible things to Christians. And Peter is saying to them, and it may have been just before that was happening, Peter is saying to these Christians, don't be surprised. It's going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And actually, this is really important for Georgia and Stanley as well. And for all who are Christians, that we've got to get this in mind, that this is the long-term view. It's suffering now, glory later. Why? Because there could be times when it is really hard to be a Christian. I don't know whether, Georgia and Stanley, whether you've seen that already, maybe at times. Particularly if you're the only one in your class, or there aren't very many in your class who are Christians. And maybe for others of us, maybe you've faced the fact that actually it's not that easy to be a Christian sometimes. It's just hard. If those at work, those in your family aren't Christians, and maybe they give you flack for it, and maybe it's really tough. Yeah, we're not facing the kind of problems that they were facing in those days. And there are many around the world who still face horrible times for being Christians. There are some for whom what we've done today, if they did that, that would probably mean that they'd end up in prison or die because they've declared that they trust in Christ. Now, we're not facing that. But nevertheless, we do still face difficulties for being Christians. And Peter is saying, expect it. And therefore, Georgia and Stanley, I want you to be ready for this if it comes. Christian, today, I want you to be ready for this if it comes. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. It's just the pattern. Suffering now, but glory later. And that's what Peter's saying, isn't it? Keep your eyes fixed on that glory. So what is it we're looking forward to? The image that Peter has had so far in the letter has been, and we've gone over this every time, because you think we're working our way through 1 Peter, which is why we've got to this passage. And I thought, do I do this one for today? And I read it through and I thought, no, actually, I think this is really helpful, really important for us. But the image that Peter has had running through the letter has been that he said that we, if we're Christians today, we are aliens and strangers in the world. And therefore, the glory that we look forward to is a kind of homecoming. He's saying, this isn't your home, if you're a Christian. You're an alien here. You're a stranger here. But look forward to the day when God, in his glory, will come, when there will be the new creation, new heavens and new earth. And that will be home for you. That is where you belong. Have you ever found, when you've gone away for a period of time, maybe you've been away, you know, for a month or longer, and you find there just comes a point where you just want to get back home. However nice the places you've been in, you just feel, this isn't familiar. These aren't my surroundings. These aren't my things. This isn't my bed, and I like sleeping in my bed, and I just want to get home. And if you've had a longer period away, particularly if it's not been that nice where you've been staying, you know that feeling when you get home and you can just relax and you can say, it is so good to be back home. It's so nice. This is where I belong. This is where I should be. Well, that feeling that you've had, that feeling of getting home, that is just a fraction, just a shadow of the feeling of what it will be like when we go to glory, to be with God forever. Because there are actually lots of things in this life that should point us to the fact that this isn't our home. There are lots of things that should make us feel uncomfortable, that should make us feel this just isn't right. Illnesses, sicknesses, pain, hurt, tears, broken relationships, ultimately death. I mean, it's just alien to us. Why do we struggle so much with those things? Because they're pointers, they're things in us that are saying, this isn't your home. And God says there will come a day when he will make that new creation, where there will be no more pain or suffering or mourning or death or crying. There will be none of those things. And Peter is saying, that is the place you were made for. That is the place you belong if you're a Christian. And so keep your eyes fixed on that day. Pan out. See the long-term view. If you're suffering from being a Christian at the moment, keep that in mind. And you may think, well, how can you know? How can we know that that's where we're heading? Sounds a bit sort of pie in the sky. Nice dream, but is it really concrete? Is it real? Well, the Bible consistently points to the resurrection of Jesus as being the thing that points to the fact that it is real. The fact that Jesus died and he rose to life again. That's the thing that makes you say, it's not just a dream. it will happen. And so long for that day. Look forward to that day. So how should you deal with sufferings now if you're suffering for being a Christian? And if that comes on you later on, Georgia, Stanley, how are you going to cope with that? Here are a few things just quickly from the passage. I'm whizzing through these now. It says, don't be surprised. We've already seen that. Now, you're not looking for suffering. You're not looking for a hard time. But don't be surprised by it. Next one, rejoice and look forward. That's what it says in verse 13, isn't it? Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Next one, remember God is with you. That's verse 14. It says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Sufferings are not an indication that you've been abandoned by God. No, God is with you if you're suffering for being a Christian. And Peter goes on, the next couple of verses, he says, don't suffer for doing bad things. Don't suffer for being a murderer. Don't suffer for being a thief or being a meddler, which is interesting, sort of meddling in other people's business. Don't get involved in that. Don't suffer for that. That's not an honourable suffering. But verse 16, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name, that you bear that name. You see, it is suffering now, glory later. And Peter is saying, if you're a Christian, focus on that. Keep that in mind. Georgia and Stanley, you have made a declaration today. You have declared that you want to live for Christ. That you have died to yourself, you live for Christ. And can I say, you have found something which is glorious. It is a wonderful thing to know Jesus. It is a wonderful thing. It is something worth suffering for. It is something worth dying for. So hold on to this long-term view. It is suffering now, but glory later. Well, like I said at the beginning, this passage is about panning out, and there's a message here for Christians. Christians, hold on to that glory. Keep hold of it. That's where we're heading. What about for those who aren't Christians? Now, you may be feeling this morning, hang on, I just came here to support Georgia and Stanley. That's all I came here to do. I wasn't expecting to be spoken to. Well, I hope you bear with me, because I think actually this passage has something really important to say to you. And it is a warning. Now, it depends how you view the warnings in the Bible. I think we need to see, because the warnings can be very strong. But we need to see that they're not there just to frighten people. They're there so that we will know the truth and so that we will change. When I was in Tanzania, I was there for a time, and there was a group of us. We were together, and we'd planned to go to visit a hot spring that came up. And people said, it's a great place to go and visit because you can go and swim there. And it's a fantastic place, nice hot spring, and it's really warm, and it's a really lovely place. And so we'd planned for months to go and visit this place. A week before we went, some other people had been swimming there, and one of them got attacked by a crocodile and was killed. Well, we thought, well, we'll go along and have a look anyway. And there were plenty of warnings around, people saying, you know, don't go near this place, or don't swim in it. So we went there, we got there, and we got out and had a look, and it was a beautiful place, and the water looked really inviting, looked lovely. And one of our group decided to go for a swim. And the rest of us kept saying to him, you're mad. Someone died a week ago swimming in there. But he insisted. And he got in and he was swimming around and he was larking around. And he was splashing about. And he had a great time. The rest of us had a terrible time. Because we were just looking at the surface of the water, looking around to see what's coming. And he'd obviously decided that the warnings were just there to spoil his fun. But we knew that they weren't there to spoil his fun. They were very serious. They were there to protect him. And actually, that's true of the warnings in the Bible as well. They're not there to spoil our fun. They're there out of concern and love so that we can change. Well, what are the warnings? Well, it's there, verses 17 and 18. If you've closed your Bible, please turn open again to page 1220. It says this. I'll let you get there. It says, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now, when it talks there about judgment on the family of God, that's not saying God is angry with the church, which is why they were suffering, but the judgment is more that, as you read earlier in 1 Peter, the sufferings that they were going through just showed who the genuine Christians were and who weren't. And it's that kind of judgment. If you want to know more about that, I can chat to you afterwards. But that's where he's going with that. But the warning there is to say, what's going to come in the future? If you pan out and you say, what's going to happen beyond this life? And Peter is saying it doesn't look great for those who, as he says, do not obey the gospel of God. Now, what does that phrase mean? Do not obey the gospel of God. The word gospel means good news. So, in spite of the fact that I'm telling you there's a warning there, do you realise that Christianity is first and foremost good news? It is great news. It is such good news we should shout it from the rooftops, but we're British, most of us, and therefore we're not going to do that. But it is fantastic news. Have you realised that? Most people think Christianity is just about church buildings or about, I don't know, people doing good things, but that's not what it's about. It's about good news. What's the good news? Let me read verse 18 for you again. It talks about two types of people. Did you notice them? It says, and if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now that's two kinds of people, the righteous and ungodly sinners. Now what's the difference between those two groups of people? I think you probably think you already know. But actually the Bible says it's different probably from what you think. You see, you probably think that those who are in the righteous camp, they're the really, really good people. They're the people who've been stellar. They've been fantastically good. And the ungodly and sinners, they've been really bad. But that's not quite the way it is. You see, the Bible says that we are all ungodly sinners. You see, being an ungodly sinner, that means rejecting God, ignoring God, living without God, declaring independence from God, saying, God, I'll do things my way. And that is true of all of us. Therefore, we are all in the ungodly sinner camp. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that doesn't sound like good news to me. But here is the good news. The good news is that God has made a way for us to get from being in the ungodly sinner group to being in the righteous group. You see, the difference between the two groups is not that one lot are perfect and the other lot are really horrible. The difference is that the lot over here, which is all of us, are ungodly sinners. But you can get over here because God can get you there. How? Through the death of his Son. When Jesus died on the cross, he was taking the agony that we deserve. It was like all our sinful ungodliness, our rejection of God, was dumped on Jesus, and he died on the cross in agony for you and for me, so that we could be washed clean, so that we could be made righteous. See, I don't stand before you as someone who's perfect, who's saying, you know, come and join me in the being perfect gang. It's not that. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve God's anger. I know I've rejected God. But I also know where the cure is, where you can get washed. Will you do that? Because Jesus says we can all of us be washed if we will come to him. See, this is why when Georgia and Stanley came to me and said, you know, I want this, what we didn't say to them is, well, first off, you need to tick all the boxes on your, you know, being good list, your I Spy book of being good. Have you helped someone across the road? Have you done this? You know, we didn't give them a list like that. Because it's not about being good. It's about coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need you to wash me clean. Which is why we baptized them. And did you notice, it's not that they baptised themselves. They couldn't do it to themselves. I mean, they could have a wash, they have a bath by themselves, but they couldn't be baptised by themselves. You need someone else to do it to you, which shows. It's a symbol of saying, actually, we need Jesus to do this to us. It's a very humbling thing to say, actually, God, I need you to make me righteous. I can't do it myself. And so the point for those who aren't Christians today, and it's great you're here, is receive the good news. It's a humbling thing to do because it's saying, I can't get myself clean. I found this great picture. I love this one of this dog. I don't know whose dog it is. But that is one heck of a muddy dog, isn't it? And you know that that dog is heading for a bath, isn't it? Because actually that dog's not going to get itself clean. And that's true of us as well. We can't do it to ourselves. We need God to wash us and to get us in that righteous group. So I urge you today, receive the good news, just as Georgia and Stanley have, just as many others have. Receive it. Come to Jesus, let him wash you clean. Don't just reject this. Don't reject the good news. From what I gather, I think it was the Evening Standard did this. They did a thing on Oxford Circus where they handed out flyers, they handed out leaflets which said, if you return this leaflet to the person who gave it to you, they'll give you £5. And they gave out loads of these. And hardly anyone came back to collect the £5. Why? Because they're too busy. They're doing other things. You get loads of flyers on the street. What do? You just scrumble them up, throw them in the bin. Don't reject or ignore this good news. It is fantastic news. If you want to find out more about it, can I encourage you, keep coming along over Christmas to our services. I mean, we have them every Sunday as well. It's not just at Christmas. You know, keep coming along week by week and ask questions. If you're new to this, or if you're thinking, I don't know about this, I would imagine you've got questions. I would love to help you think about them. Talk to me afterwards. Come along on, we'll do a Christianity Explored course. We'll look to do one of them in the new year. If you want to do that, it's not. You can come along with your questions. Fire your hardest questions. I'd love to have you fire them at me. And we'll explore this together. It is such good news. It is far too good just to ignore. So, if you're a Christian, hang on to that glory that is yet to come. Live for Christ now. And if you're not, I'd urge you, receive the good news. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you that through Jesus, through his death for us on the cross, we can be washed completely clean, whatever we've done. Father, we pray for those today who haven't received Jesus, who haven't received that good news. Please would you help them today to turn to Jesus, to see their need of him, and to put their trust in him. And for those of us who've already done that, Father, please help us to be filled with gratitude for what you've done for us. Help us to live for you every day, knowing what you've done for us, and longing for that glory that is yet to come, when Jesus' glory will be revealed and when we will be home. Amen.